News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage.
In association with AIR.
Well, if you've been on tenderhooks to figure out why people say espresso or the specific ocean specifically or any of those kind of mispronunciations, you can wait no longer. Kirsty King is with us. Dr. Kirsty King, forensic linguist and author of The Language of Lies. Kirsty, can we start with one basic principle, which is it a good thing to hear people mispronounce words because it suggests that they at least have read a new word?
Good morning. Well, it's a good thing that people give it a go, because most of us have an issue with performance anxiety. And therefore, if we're trying to pronounce a word that we've never encountered before, we're more likely to get it wrong. And therefore, we're more likely to be ridiculed, or we're more likely to put ourselves in a position where we could look a bit stupid. So it's really good that people give it a go.
Now, how long should you keep the fight up when everybody else has adopted the wrong pronunciation as the right one? I give you two as case in point. Comparable is now almost always said comparable, even though it's wrong. And harassment is always almost always said harassment, even though it's wrong. But if you do it the other way, you're the odd person out.
Yeah, so this is just to do with language change. So as a community of speakers, we actually create the pronunciation of words. So language is very dynamic, it's very fluid, and obviously its use actually causes change. And we see that with lots of different forms of language, different words coming into our language, and so on. So there's nothing wrong with this. There is this principle in linguistics, which is the idea of prescriptivism, which is people should say things in the proper way. But that negates the idea that language is always going to change. The language that we speak now, the English that we speak now, obviously has gone through centuries of change. And we can see that in the difference between Shakespearean English and modern day English. So we know that language is always in a state of flux. So it's only this idea that attitudes about language, that people are of lower intelligence if they don't pronounce something correctly. I mean, as a community, we understand what people are saying, and essentially that the pronunciation will take over. Whatever pronunciation is the most common or the most general pronunciation, it will become the normal pronunciation. So
let me give you one then that we may be on the cusp of. If you take the word regardless and the common mispronunciation as irregardless, is that now at the point where it's so common that it will become the pronunciation of the word?
Exactly. Yeah. And that's just normal language change. So this is just something that we shouldn't resist in a way, that we shouldn't have a kind of attitudinal response towards and say, no, that's not correct. That's not correct. Because that would make language very rigid, and it would solidify language. And it's also about the creativity with language as well. It comes naturally. And so words change, the pronunciation of them changes, their meaning changes. And just language is just about change.
Now, what about those ones where there are theoretically rules around them? Like if you take a proper name like the Thames, even though it's a TH, it's pronounced as a T, but people tend to pronounce it TH. Is that rules-based, or does that also change as time goes on?
No, that will also change. It's the same as words like what, you know, they used to be pronounced with what. We used to have this sound that followed the W from Old Saxon, and that dropped out. It's just the process of language change, and the fact that it's the pronunciation, the speakers actually cause this change. There's no one person saying, no, you can't say that, you can't do that. I mean, people do, but it's not going to stop the overall differences in pronunciation that we would see over time.
Where do you stand there then on the pronunciation of words that derive from foreign languages? As in, if we take car brands, should we in Ireland be calling them Skoda and Peugeot, or is Peugeot and Skoda okay?
Well, again, it's an attitude. If we start to pronounce them as Skoda, sometimes it's about making ourselves, we're elevating ourselves away from our common rules that are based in our language. We don't really have these sounds that go together in English, so we don't really use them. Skoda is much more natural, but we're going to make ourselves look outside of our linguistic community if we start to pronounce them with this kind of, you know, much more of like maybe a German or a French pronunciation. It might be the pure pronunciation to speakers of French and German, but it's not really pure to speakers of English.
Although so, there are some weird arbitrary mass group decisions made about these kind of issues. Because if you look at the World Cup, we all decided that we would use the English-derived names for almost all countries. We didn't call Germany Deutschland, we stuck with Germany. But in the case of the Ivory Coast, we all decided to call it the Côte d'Ivoire.
Yeah, and that's because of political, socioeconomic reasons and to do with colonialism. So we have to watch out sometimes that sometimes we're using words to actually show that we're not promoting a sense of power over people, or, you know, words really matter, and how they're pronounced sometimes really does matter. So I think it's to do with, you know, language is much more complicated, and how we name things is very complicated, and it can be very political.
Okay,
as
Kirsty,
well.
Thank you so much, Dr. Kirsty King there, forensic linguist and author of The Language of Lies.
News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage. In association with AIR. Weekday mornings at 7. News Talk. Conversation that counts.